ER-101. Get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host and emergency room physician, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome back to ER-101. My guest, Dr. Henry Higgins, is here to talk about a new phenomenon that's growing. He's also the founder of the Journal of Freestanding Emergency Medicine, and he's the owner of a freestanding ER. So, Dr. Higgins, this is an interesting phenomenon. I mean, we are seeing a growing phenomenon of consumer-type healthcare because there's a need. You know, primary care doctors are getting few and far between. There aren't enough of them. They're retiring, and they certainly don't have office hours conducive to our busy lifestyles that everybody has today. So there's a rise in retail clinics, you know, in Targets and Walmarts, and then there's a rise in urgent care. And now there's this new phenomenon, freestanding ERs. They're not attached to hospitals. Tell me a little bit about those.
Well, you're exactly right. I think these are arising out of a consumer need that's not being satisfied. Freestanding emergency departments have been around for many years. However, with consumers looking for alternatives, trying to get their health care, the freestandings, for example, here in Texas, have really, really taken off. Freestanding emergency rooms basically are fully staffed, fully accredited, highly regulated, fully licensed by the state. And as such, the quality of care that's given in the emergency departments, their standalones, these freestanding, is the same, if not better, than the emergency care that's received in the hospital-based ERs.
So, is there, you know, in some states have what's called a certificate of need, right? So you can't just go and open it up. The state has to deem there's a need in that area. And is that true in Texas where you started it?
It is not true in Texas, but obviously some states do have a certificate of need. The ownership of the freestanding emergency departments is variable from state to state. In Texas, obviously, hospitals can own and operate the freestandings. Physicians can also own and operate the freestandings. In other states, only hospitals are allowed to operate the freestandings.
Yeah, I think in Maryland here, we're doing a pilot study. We had one, and it had to go through the state legislature, and I believe we're a certificate of need. So it's a hospital center owns it. So,
as you can imagine, there is a difference in ownership. When physicians own, for example, a freestanding versus a hospital, the actual motives behind building it can sometimes vary. As you know, the emergency department becomes the gateway to the hospital system. So in a lot of states where it's only a hospital-owned phenomena, freestandings are oftentimes, there's a certificate of need that's required.
Mm-hmm.
And that allows the hospital systems to kind of figure out where they're going to allow each other to put the freestanding ERs. In Texas, it's not that way. And we've actually seen the beginning of free market principles being introduced into emergency care in Texas. And it's actually quite exciting to be a part of. We are, emergency departments, emergency centers, freestandings in Texas are always required to have a transfer agreement with hospitals. So, in fact, whoever we choose to work with becomes our partner.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm a consumer, I have an issue, so, you know, or I'm a patient. It makes it different. Tell everyone from an urgent care. So in an ER, you have a CAT scanner as part of your freestanding.
The biggest difference between an urgent care and an freestanding emergency department is the staffing.
Uh-huh.
We are required to have board certified residency trained ER doctors and nurses on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
So the hours are different. It's a 24-hour. Yeah. It's just like an ER all night long, whereas urgent cares are...
We are open.
Right.
We're open all the time, where urgent cares hours vary. We're fully regulated and licensed, which requires us to have a certain amount of quality in our process. We have a full plethora of lab, X-ray, CAT scan equipment. We also, the other thing that's key, one key difference between urgent cares and freestandings is that the freestandings have protocols in place. You know, we are prepared for anything that comes through the door, whether it's a gunshot wound to the head or an early preterm labor that's trying to happen in our parking lot. We are prepared. We have protocols in place. We've already worked through all of the scenarios that are possible. And we have also consultants that are on duty, on call. For example,
really? So,
many of the ERs, for example, somebody comes in with a chest pain, we've been able to get them to the cath lab at the nearby hospital, you know, 40 minutes. So essentially what we're doing is we're stabilizing the patients just like they're stabilized in a hospital-based emergency department. Mm-hmm. And if they need to be admitted, instead of wheeled down the hallway, they get wheeled down the highway. Mm-hmm. And in fact, they bypass the local emergency department, either go to the ICU, the operating room, or the cath lab.
Mm-hmm. But now, to be a devil's advocate, people would still say getting wheeled down the hallway is a lot quicker than getting rolled down the highway.
No.
So is it delayed care, do you think? No?
Not necessarily, because here's one of the biggest problems in our nation is boarding patients in the emergency department of a hospital.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if we have a hospital that doesn't have room, if we have a transfer agreement with a hospital that doesn't have room to accept our patient, we can simply call another hospital that does have room.
I see. So you're sort of putting them. And then what about the advocates that say, okay, so now you're in areas where all your patients have insurance. I mean, do you have to give the same type of charity care that most hospitals and ERs do?
Actually, we give more. CMS does not recognize freestanding emergency centers. Therefore, when someone, for example, with Medicaid, Medicare, or TRICARE comes through our doors, we typically don't bill them anything. We never get reimbursed for their care. Hospitals, as you know, do bill for that. In fact, in the state of Texas, if you your hospital system and breed a freestanding emergency center, you can use your state, your hospital license to operate that facility. And CMS recognizes it. If you're an owner-operator like myself, you basically are doing charity care at that point if a Medicaid, Medicare patient comes through the door. However, we all follow EMTALA. We all treat everybody that comes through the door without any change due to their payer mix. Or their
okay. Strength.
So we do a great deal of charity care, more than the hospitals.
Very interesting. Yeah, I'm sure. Medicare will start sending their patients there just so they won't have to pay for the emergency care.
Exactly.
So what you're saying is, but now some of the hospitals are saying that it's, you know, I know they did a study in Maryland, and just briefly maybe you can comment on it, that what happened is the local hospital ended up getting backed up a little more because they actually had to board more because the freestanding ER was sending patients directly to the bed. Have you seen that yet? And we only have about 30 seconds yet.
That's because we're faster. The freestanding emergency departments typically don't have anybody in their waiting room. Patients, we tackle them. We've been able to, with a smaller staff, we've been able to maximize our process and get patients treated and treated much, much more quickly than a hospital-based ER.
Huh. Interesting. Well, a new choice for patients, urgent care, freestanding ER, or the regular emergency department. But remember, you need to know what an emergency is. This is ER 101. I'm Dr. Lee Van Oker on Radio MD. Stay well.